All right, hello everybody and welcome. Today we are doing something a little different, a little new. We are tentatively calling it right now Dungeon Death Sentence. So it's more of a somber thing because nobody wants to roll out death sentences, but it is, somebody's got to do it. So I guess that somebody is us today. The basic premise is that we take disputes between DMs and the players. We examine all aspects on them, and then we decide who really is in the right and who is in the wrong of these situations. And then we go and take a vote on it, and then whoever is deemed right gets to walk, and whoever is deemed in the wrong gets the death sentence.
Let's kill some people.
Yeah. And then we can also possibly talk about how we may have done things differently, if you wanted to interject those kind of things as well.
Should we mention that we're part of the Z team? And who we are?
Well, I mean, not necessary. That was next.
fair enough.
So originally we usually do the Z Team podcast, where we go on all types of crazy adventures with D&D. On other types of role-playing games like Vampire, The Masquerade. I forgot what Marin's.
You're distracting game is. Him. You're distracting him with the thumb.
It's all good.
We're also playing Shadowrun right now.
And Witch Doctors.
And Witch Doctors. Well, that's the one I was trying to think of. Thank you. Anyway, with me today, we have Rodar.
Hi, everybody.
We also have Olive.
Hello.
We have Sky.
Hello.
And Herr Doyoy.
Hello!
If it sounds weird, it's because Raz and I, or Herr Doyoy, are on the same microphone.
Indeed. We are sharing. It is very hot.
Sharing is caring.
Indeed.
And he is a thumb because we're all using cameras. You guys have to pay extra to see us. Hangman, what's our first situation that we have to judge?
So the first scenario is called Ape and Wolf Climb. So basically, a druid character decided to climb a tree and hoist up his pet wolf. It's an adult wolf that was fully tamed and pretty used to these type of antics. The DM got the player to roll. The roll was good, and he got up the tree. The player then decided to wild shape into an ape. Not a giant ape, but just a regular ape. Then he tied the wolf to his back and tried to climb through the trees. The DM had him roll athletics with disadvantage, since he thought that this would severely impair his movement, because transporting a friggin' wolf on your back is still awkward, even if you're an ape. And typically an ape does have like a climbing speed and a carrying capacity of roughly like 240 pounds. So in theory, he should have been able to handle it, but it's still like a very live creature, which is kind of where the interesting aspect comes from. Anyway, so basically the player failed the roll, ended up falling out of the tree. The DM lets him make another check in order to break his fall at half damage, which the player succeeded in, and then the character and the pet were both fine. But the player was upset at having to make the tree climbing and swinging check at disadvantage, and basically brought it up for the rest of the evening, and was like really upset with the DM, and basically made it a really bad time throughout the rest of the session. And so the main question really comes down to, was the DM being unreasonable by making him roll at disadvantage for that roll?
How harsh do we want to be on this fucker?
But are we going as written or as intended for the rule? Like, this is the biggest thing right now.
I think you just riff off with it at whatever you think. I mean, mm-hmm. How do you feel about it?
So, I mean, as written, see that's tough because gorillas carry their babies on them all the time swinging through trees. Well, not necessarily. Well, not gorillas. Gorillas don't really swing through trees. Hold on, I have to get closer to the microphone.
Also, you're moving a lot and the chair is squeaking.
You should have just let him sit in your lap.
Did gorillas swing through trees? Was it just a climbing a tree?
Well, so he tied the... He put the wolf in the tree, climbed up, he shapeshifted into an ape, then he tied the wolf to his back?
Yes. That is right, the series of events.
I'm seeing here that they have an athletics plus 5 on standard with a strength of 16. I think that's enough to carry a full-grown wolf.
No? Like, you gotta think, wolves are huge, man. Like, wolves are, like,
I guess it
5
depends.
Feet tall. Like, they're insane, right? Like, they're not small dogs.
Like, 80 pounds?
Mm. A wolf would probably be closer to, like, 160.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A wolf is... An actual full-size wolf is not a small creature. It's fucking huge.
Hmm.
So, but... It's a gorilla.
Yeah. So, I guess, in my opinion, I agree with the disadvantage checks, because... Tying a wolf and being very awkward, leaping from tree to tree, is inherently awkward. So I guess, yeah, I kind of agree with the DM in this point. There wasn't really a basis for that. Like, if he was, like, the rule of cool, if he was doing something rad, like he yeeted himself from tree to tree and then dropped the wolf onto a pack of enemies as, like, a surprise thing, like, that would have been rad. But if he's just doing it to do it, I guess, yeah, I agree with the DM on this one.
That's a thumbs down from me.
What do you think, Olive?
I mean, I definitely don't know rules as well as the others, but I mean, like, I guess I'd have to agree with the rule of the cool thing. If that's a little different than I would hope, you know, a little fudging could happen, and if not, you know, that's just kind of the natural role of things. I don't think there's any reason to stink up the the session for swinging from tree to tree with a wolf on your back as an ape.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
try to Tarzan this shit.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I was like, I've seen Tarzan. I know what they can carry.
Like, if there was a full purpose behind this, like, I don't know if it's explained in the question, but
what do you think about that?
I was just going to say, there was no real reason given as to why he was climbing the tree and wanting to swing through. It just kind of, from how it was written, seemed as if he just wanted to do it because he thought it would be fun.
But if you think about it, if you look at the Tarzan movies and stuff, hold on, I'll be on camera so you know I'm talking. If you think about the Tarzan movies and stuff, like, he carried Jane with, like, one hand, and Jane's probably rocking at least a buck 20. He's not a gorilla.
Yes, but Jane's also clinging to him.
Yeah.
You don't know if that wolf wasn't hugging his ass.
Not a loose wolf. Like, my mind is that he tied spine to spine, so the wolf's, like, legs are just floating.
He's got the wolf's paws up here on his shoulder, and he's all tied to
him. Oh, he's real intimate. Yeah, like, it's a hug. He's fucking it's this wolf hug. Later.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. He's a druid. They could do that. And it wouldn't be weird.
Engines, what's your pick on this?
To be fair, I think the player have reacted at the end by making it a bit of a toxic fucking environment, but at the end of the day, I do actually side with the player slightly.
What's up?
Because, now, you're saying that a druid hoisted a fucking wolf up a tree in the first instance. Then he turned into a gorilla who is far stronger and... tied a dog to him, essentially, and climbed up a tree. I mean, you've just said not disadvantage for hoisting up a wolf, but disadvantage for having it strapped on him. Bearing in mind, if this wolf was used to these antics, and therefore he ain't gonna be moving around much or struggling or anything. That fucking noise.
I mean, if the wolf has put up with a lot of shit in the past, at that point it's just gonna be like,
It just gets on with it. So, in my eyes, I think the player had a right to be a bit pissed, but to ruin the session, nah, that's going too far.
Yeah, okay.
So, unless they died from it, and then I'd be a little bit like, but Nah. Yeah. Just it's like, the DMs being the DM, they do this, they make the choices, we accept it and move on. But yeah, I'm totally on the play.
I guess that's 2-1 or 3-1.
And here I was just gonna say, let's put it to a vote. But
Coop, you're the hangman. What happens?
Because that's the thing. I agree with most of the things that have been said. Because I feel kind of like what Engine said. If the going through trees should have been a disadvantage, he also should have been a disadvantage for hoisting up the friggin' wolf and other actions. But yeah, at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to the conduct of the player who just kind of acted unreasonable at the end of the day. So I feel as if I'm siding with the DM on this one, and I feel as if the player gets the death sentence.
All right. Pull the lever, Kronk!
Have a lever?
Well, there he goes. Wow, he bounced.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is more... We have to rethink our hanging. That was...
You just use a guillotine, that's more...
Yeah.
Okay, next time we do the guillotine, then. Okay.
Okay, we're... All right, roll out the guillotine for the next one.
Set it up.
Got it.
Wasn't the guy who made the guillotine, like, so good?
Then killed by a guillotine?
Then got killed by his own creation?
Yeah, 100%.
Look at history. Almost everything gets killed by their own creation.
Children? Time to kill our parents.
Oh.
F.
All right, le guillotine has been pulled out. The French have created a monstrosity.
All that was pulled out.
Dude, put that away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, that's perfect, because just in time for a second scenario, which I...
Oh, God. Got the segue into that.
All right, so the second scenario is called Dragon Scale Armor. So basically, a group of adventurers came across an ancient green dragon. They were fairly high level, and they defeated it.
I'd hope so.
They rolled a natural 20 to skin it, and got quite a few of the scales. The DM said it was enough to make about 4 sets of dragon scale armor. The...
Stupid thing to say, but nice!
Yeah.
I'll let you finish, sorry.
So, the DM allowed one of the main party members to take the dragon scales to a random leather worker, who is not a master skilled artisan, in order to make the scales into the armor. So one of the player asks, and he's just like, okay, so look, I know that this is... He's hyperventilating already. Yeah, he's just like, I know this is the DM's decision on these kind of things, but for the sake of argument and for, you know, future gameplay, are dragon scales considered a magical item? And would you be able to use the cantrip fabricate to make dragon scale armor? So, all the other questionable things aside, the DM argues that, like, dragon scales are a magical item, or at least are magical in essence, and as such you cannot use the spell fabricate to make the armor itself. And so then the player also kind of like then questions, well then, if it's magical and it turns into magical armor, then why can just some random artisan turn it into magical armor then? And so the question now becomes, you know, is this DM just trying to make things work for the campaign, or is the player kind of right where he's just like, okay, can we like take it back a step and actually like abide by the rules of the world?
Hear ye, hear ye. This is a bloat of honk. All right. I'm coming out of the gates with this. Everybody's got their own opinion, and DMs should have their own view of dragons as a whole, but the ability to, A, skin a dragon, they're harder than, you know, like, diamonds. So, I don't know what you're using to skin these things. unless you're spending the next, you know, week, you know, fully taking off plate by plate. And they're heavy, too. They're like 45 to 50 pounds a plate. So, if you're taking all of these and being like, okay, we're going to take this to a random leathersmith who has no skill whatsoever, and then being like, make us some armor! And it's like, that's not how that works. The wording for fabricate does allow you, or does not allow you to create ordinary items with high craftsmanship. So you can't create weapons, glass, or armor unless you have proficiency with that artisan tools of such objects. Fabricate is also a fourth level transmutation. So if the person casting the spell had leatherworking tools, I could see maybe an argument behind it. If the DM's kind of rad, cool style. But if you're just gonna fabricate this and using the leather worker as a basis? Absolutely not. This is 100% a thumbs down for the entire situation. Like, I don't know.
Right. I was gonna question why it is, like, if you're gonna make it, like, that easy for them to acquire all of that material, and then just kind of be like, oh, wait, no, but you can't make it this way. But you can go to this. Like, why even let them get the material in the first place? Like,
also, too, if I can interject, like, four sets of dragonhide armor. Like, you have a fourth level transmuter. Chances are you have a clothy. They're not going to wear that. Check out my dragon robes.
Dragon scale.
Yeah, dragon scale robes, which is like
entirely different.
It's like a plate mail AC, right? It's yeah. So it's heavy armor.
Well, it's
medium to heavy, yeah. Not everybody's going to want to wear that.
It's the exact same as wearing metal plates. It's just made out of a... It's for druids.
Yeah, so druids don't have to wear metal.
That's what it's for.
So, like, I guess see, like, doing all this for one player in particular, like, your fighter who's wanted a new set of armor for a while. So you're like, let's make this cool dragon armor off the green dragon. You're saying, what, everyone's like, rad. Well, if they're fourth level, they're probably around ninth.
No, like, what, does it say what level they were when they killed this dragon?
It just says it fairly high.
Yeah.
Because at a certain point, who the fuck cares about dragon armor at that point?
Adult green dragons, if we're going to use that as a basis, is a CR-15.
Yeah.
So at that plate, right, yeah.
Who cares? They're rocking plus twos, plus threes. It's just fucking fluff for them. At that point, who cares?
Like, why go through all this trouble? Unless you're making it plus two magical green dragon armor off of a unskilled leather worker and you who just used a spell called Fabricate, which is a fourth level. If you're tackling CR-15s, chances are you have seventh levels.
But what I'm saying, though, for dragon armor to even be relevant...
It's not.
It's good for, like, mid-range party adventurers, but then you're killing what? Like, worms? And if you can skin a worm and get four people's worth of skins off of that...
I want to know the nat 20 yeah. survival check on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. Can you find, like, all their babies and skin them, too? Mm. Like, I got them.
Also, just, like, carrying 5,000 pounds worth of dragon scales in your arms, like, oh, this is no biggie!
Yeah, well, like, that's what I mean. Like,
they're dinner plates in size. If it's
a full-size fucking dragon, even then you're going to be hard-pressed to get enough fucking material for four fucking people, but...
But why go through that? Like, it's not that good.
Yeah, it has basically the exact same stats as, like, splint mail and shit. It's just not made of metal. So it's not like it's just magical fucking supreme armor. It's just a more unique take on it. Now, a DM can spin that, and they can give it a magical element, or maybe it has fire resistance, or acid resistance, or whatever the fucking dragon had. But at that point, like seriously, if you're big enough to kill a fucking CR-15 dragon, who the fuck cares? Just sell that shit. Like, this is a moot point. This shouldn't even be fucking talked about. Like, who's gonna use that armor? Their kids? Like, what's happening here? Inheritance.
I put this dragon scale dinner plate on my child. Yeah. It was his breastplate until he's 12.
Yeah, you get more money making fucking furniture out of this shit than armor at this point.
Please, have a seat on my dragon couch and my dragon bed.
Have you seen my dragon door and my dragon mouth entryway?
And my dragon wife? Oh, wait. Yes, my dragon wife. I sleep with her on top of her brother.
Donkey.
Shrek.
What about you?
All right, I'm going to pass it off to the other two because I've gone on. This already raided me. I'm out.
I feel like we've looked at it from one point of view only, and that's by the rule book. I do realize Sky said everybody has their own opinion on it, and that's cool, but we didn't explore any of those opinions. Those opinions being in, if I was to create a world that had dragon armor and dragon scales, for a start, it wouldn't be as fucking endgame set shit anyway, so we wouldn't be all like, ah! But it also wouldn't be as weak as piss. So it wouldn't be weak as piss, but also you could probably get a fair bit off a dragon. It's just not going to make you... It's not going to make you great armor. The whole situation, again, same as Sky, is utter BS. It shouldn't have happened. You shouldn't have granted them that much, whether nat 20 or not. You then shouldn't have tried to backpedal your way out of this. But also, like Raz just said, why the fuck are you backpedaling out of this? Ain't gonna do shit for you. So like a level 15 character? In a world that I would create, probably wouldn't care too much about this. And if they do, that's because it holds some form of magical fucking whatever. It could probably easily take on enchantments unlike other, you know, other armor sets or whatever. But yeah, I think the whole situation there was just like, nah. But
yeah,
DM was like, definitely the wrong.
If the green dragon was a boss or dragons were really powerful or maybe like this whole situation had meant something, I get it. But four whole sets of armor to every, that just seems like you get an armor for no reason, you get an armor for no reason, you're not gonna use this, but you have it. And it's like, yay.
And then we'd have to think about the group at this point. Like, why would a DM do that to begin with?
Yeah, is it four fighters?
is he buying off his players? Are his players bitching that they never get enough magical items? So it's like, oh, you fought a fucking dragon, shut the hell up, here you go, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those things that a DM says in Nat 20 and just goes, everything! Yeah, instead of going, it's a good score, you got some really nice fine cut skin. But that's it.
You own the whole palace now. Yeah, you have 20, the diplomacy of the king. You're the king!
That is more likely what it's about. That's probably the biggest problem there.
Bro, I just wanted to fuck a dragon.
See, what you should do in that part is, like, you get in that 20 skinning a dragon, maybe you find, like, a lost dagger under one of its scales that's magic or something.
Be imaginative, yeah!
Yeah.
Right? Like you're peeling off a scale, like, what the fuck is this? Or you find a magic rune or a fucking hidden spell or something fucking stupid. Like,
or don't meat.
Be like, have some shit armor.
Wow!
It makes me wonder.
I don't like
it's
either
like
either side of this fucking conversation.
You know the Guaco, where he's like, he gets a present for Christmas and it's a sweater, and he's like, he's a mafia member, and he's like, wow, it's a sweater, it's a sweater,
an avocado, yay,
an avocado, thanks.
It almost like seems like a almost mistaking D&D for like Monster Hunter or something, where it's like
that's a great point.
Maybe he was running a Monster Hunter homebrew campaign.
Yeah,
he
just never told his players. Like, they haven't been skinning their animals. He's like, you're wasting 42 materials.
Need a fucking fang.
13 out of 16 fangs collected to create your set of armor.
And a few possibilities, I guess, run through my head. It's like, yeah, each one might weigh that much, but if, you know, potentially they were going in for materials to sell or something, I guess, maybe, but then why would they try to make the armor?
Yeah,
I guess, like, I don't know why they'd go for that necessarily, but, you know, if they were smart enough to bring, I don't know, like, traveling carts or something, they didn't mention that.
Whoa.
But
when you're around like level 15, chances are you have a bag of holding, which can hold up to around 500 pounds.
Maybe a tensor's
flow. Yeah. So they have a way to. It just seems so unnecessary, though, to have four sets of enough of Dragonhide, and you skinned a whole dragon.
That's my thing. Like, it almost makes me wonder if, like, they went in, like found a random quest to just go kill a dragon or something, and the DM's like, cool, maybe they'll grab some materials and sell it, get some extra money or some shit. And then they were like, you know what, we want some fucking dragon armor, because that's cool, even though it's pointless.
Yeah, but there might be also a level of the fact that the players just either wanted to get rewarded, or everybody goes apeshit about the idea of getting dragon stuff. So it's just like, here's some dragon skin. Yay!
And I do feel like at the end of the day, though, that this is kind of a DM's fault kind of situation, because it's like, it kind of, like you both mentioned, is the it's kind of up to each DM exactly how they want to run their game. But, you know, tabletop, and you can kind of do whatever you want if you're the DM. To me, it's like, you can either try and do it by the rules and be fair, or just blast it to fucking hell and just be crazy about it. Yeah. And like, to me, this seemed like we started on blast it all to hell and just have fun, and then as soon as the players wanted to do something that the DM didn't necessarily like, he just kind of went, no, you can't do that.
All right, I think we've all judged this man enough.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, hangman or guillotine boy, guillotine guy. No, guillotine guy.
We need the rack for this one.
The rack?
We need the rack. This is a torture punishment.
The maiden?
Fuck this guy.
The stretchy rack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That will make you taller.
Okay.
Are you just going to give him some titties?
Should we just get him four horses and tie each of his limbs?
That's enough punishment. Just give him some tits. Yeah.
Tie each limb to a horse and send them in a direction. All right. Tie him up.
All right, goodbye, DM. All of them
go the same direction.
Goodbye, DM.
Well, we stole the guillotine, so we definitely need to use that for the next one. We brought it out and everything.
But the guillotine's so quick.
It is so... Well, okay, yeah, that one definitely...
It's like a looming death, like, it's going to happen, but then you're dead. Horses, at least, you know, it takes a second for them to get up to speed and to pull you apart, and then it just hurts.
You could just slow it down and just put some weight on top of the guillotine to make it real slow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a bit messy.
Wait, you putting weight?
Put Jello. put like Jello or tofu. That way, it hits and then it keeps going slowly. That wouldn't work.
A
serrated
edge.
Ooh, a serrated edge.
Two guys with a saw. It's the same thing. Right?
Because this is your hands free. You just gotta keep dropping it.
A blunt guillotine. I like it. So we're gonna use a blunt guillotine to chop off someone's
his
head.
Poor fucking bonk bonk bonk.
As a French, I am absolutely disgusted.
Hey, you guys came up with it. We're just making it worse.
Or better.
It's disgusting because it's changed. Changing the guillotine, no, can't do that.
Alright, this poor man got stretched between four horses and is sentenced to death. For horses.
Anyway, on that note, we do need to use the guillotine. So, this last scenario I call one shot weapon. It is a very.
That's what I got.
Okay, so this last one is very short and sweet, but basically.
Yep.
Alright, dude.
Sorry.
A group of players. Okay, so there's a group of players. Relatively all of them are inexperienced. One of the players wanted to use the cantrip Mold Earth to make a stone weapon, like a dagger or a rapier, under the condition that it breaks after a single use, like a single hit. The DM said no, the player said yes. Basically, what do you guys think?
Somebody read the spell out for me. That I have no
what
other
is
spell.
It called?
Mold Earth.
Okay, Mold Earth is one of the most broken spells if you actually learn how to use it, especially with a dirt donkey. So, you target an area of about 5 feet, and you manipulate in the following ways. If you target an area of loose earth, you can instantaneously excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away. It does not cause force damage. You cause shapes, colors, or both to appear in the dirt or stone, spelling out words, creating images, shaping patterns, and that lasts for an hour. If the dirt or stone you target is on the ground, you cause it to become difficult terrain. Alternatively, you can cause the ground to become normal terrain if it is already difficult terrain. So there's a lot of people who will upright earth, push somebody into the thing, and then put the earth back on top, you know, forcing them to suffocate. That is a very common way to use it.
It's also good for digging pit traps ahead of time.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that they want to craft a weapon that a blacksmith would make by sculpting earth with essentially a shovel. I mean, rules-wise, I would say probably not, but it's kind of fun because you're wasting a spell to create
a weapon. Oh, it's a cantrip.
Weapon. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So a cantrip to create a one-shot weapon. Like,
just use the shovel.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. Druids, sorcerers, and wizards can learn this. Chances are you're probably going to be a druid with it, and Shillelagh does a d8 plus wisdom. So I don't know if you're... packed earth weapon.
You could pick up a twig and shillelagh.
Like, your packed dirt isn't going to deal more than a d8.
No, he wanted to make a stone, though. He wanted to get a piece of stone and make it into a dagger.
Yeah, but it matters not. It still breaks.
Yeah.
It'll still shatter. It'll...
Yeah, he wanted to use it for one attack. So yeah. All he was saying is, can I make a quick stone dagger for one attack?
I would say yeah, because it's fucking pointless. It's a waste of an action for every round of combat.
Mm-hmm. It's an entire action to use. So you use this, you shape your stone into a little dagger, you bop him for, let's say, 1d4 damage, same as in any other weapon, and then you call it a day.
See, what I would have done, so personally, is he could have used the mold earth, and then do a quick check, and see if there was already a dagger-like stone in the ground that he moved. Just picked it up and used it. That's the same thing.
Yeeted it up to his hand.
And just picked up a fucking sharp stone and just started... It's the same fucking effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Essentially. I know what you're saying.
You find a sharp rock. Give me the sharp rock.
He went straight back to Neanderthal.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. A sharp rock is an improvised weapon.
Yes. I mean, I would...
Well... Yeah, but it's not an actual dagger.
No, but it's a stone rock. Dagger. You would mold it to be like a dagger that you're familiar with. You wouldn't just pick up a stone that could be weighty on either side. I mean, if we're looking purely in the rules book, that's an improvised weapon.
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking purely in the rules book, mold earth doesn't shape stone.
I totally agree, which is what I said when I first started speaking. It just doesn't. Yeah. That's not what it's there to do. So it's a completely null and void and stupid idea. But I'd just go. Go for it, because that's silly.
I think it's fun. Yeah. I would probably say no if they were to ask like to do more damage. I would say that's fun. Like, if you want to do like 1+3 or your strength in damage, stab somebody with a frickin' rock or a dirt sword, whatever you wanted, that's fun, you know? But you're not going to be doing, you know, shillelagh damage. That's not what the spell's designed for.
You got to take on the level experience of the DM, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this is a rogue.
Oh god!
Because like if you think about it in a rogue situation, they need a finesse weapon. A dagger is a finesse weapon. If he can get
same with a rapier,
a dagger, it doesn't matter. Mm. He gets sneak attack.
Sneak attack with you can just grab a rock, huck it, and it'll deal sneak attack.
No, because a rock is not a finesse weapon.
If you're using a dex to throw it, yes, you are, because it counts.
Is an improvised weapon. Proficient with a dagger, you can get sneak attack off of it. So if this is a rogue who has a cantrip trying to be fucking sneaky, I could see the logic behind it.
I was gonna make the comment that it might be the perfect murder weapon, because
it's just
mold earth. Yeah.
It's like using an icicle dagger. It melts, it's gone.
See, now thickens. I'm all for this. I want this. I love this. And now I'm into it. I say hang the DM at this point. The player's in the right.
Yeah.
But if a player is a guy who does shit like this, he's always thinking outside the box.
Yep.
So this could just be a fucking case of the DM getting tired of his shit.
Like me.
Yeah. Like, okay. It's like, buddy, you need to stop coming up with this weird shit. I don't fucking like it. But yeah, it's what happened is a DM probably took away his weapons. The guy can't sneak attack now, so he's like, "Well, I'm gonna find a sharp fucking rock."
Yeah, I mean, if they were sneaking inside a palace or something, sneaking inside to assassinate somebody, that's a great idea, Raz. Well done. Because I didn't think of that.
A stapler and a pencil, and he's like, "I gotta do something with these."
Takes the pencil to the stapler. It's now a dagger.
Chunk a chunk.
Yeah, so I mean. If we're just reading, though, and this is just a situation outside of context, I'm 100% on the DM side, because you can't do that with Mulder.
No.
You cannot shape stone. There's a spell called shape stone, specifically for that reason.
And it is a level spell, not a cantrip.
Right. Now, like, if you wanted to use prestidigitation to make a quick dagger, you can.
Because it's an illusion.
Right? Cause, no, you can make trinkets with prestidigitation. And you can make
dagger's
save,
not a trinket, though.
Stab and break it.
Not
it could be a glass dagger that's still
that go, but with mold earth trying to find a stone. If you can word it right to make a trinket that's kind of sharp, like a letter opener that you can use as a dagger, I might give it to you. You're gonna have to convince me, but to be like, I want to shape a stone into a dagger using earth.
Well, you can't say that word.
Give me my shovel, like Rodar said. I want a blacksmith with a shovel. It's like, no. Fuck no. You want to dig a hole? Sure. You want to spooky up some rocks? Sure. I would even let you bring rocks to the surface of dirt. I would let you do that to find a sharp rock.
To use the cantrip known as magic stone and huck three rocks at people. Just in case your DM's like, there's no rocks in the air. So you use mold earth? Yeah. Bring up 5 feet of dirt, find the rocks at the bottom, and be like, fuck you, DM. I have rock now. And then huck them at your friend. Yes. But like...
But a stone dagger, because the only situation that's good in is if a fucking rogue wanted that one time. Because it is a one-shot attack.
Yeah.
If he wanted that fucking sneak attack.
If it's super clever in the way he's using it, I say absolutely. Like, that's usually why as a DM I ask, what is your whole aim through this process before we get too in-depth with the math and the science? Because if the shit is just like... hucking a wolf on top of an ape and jumping from tree to tree, I mean, like, let's maybe... not do that.
His name was Jane, and they had a relationship.
I don't care. So, I guess I'm for the DM in this aspect, because it's so hard to think of how cleverly that this new, inexperienced player used this spell. But there's a slim chance.
I forgot about the inexperience.
Yeah, he's not used to the mechanics. He's not used to maybe even playing the game. Like, this is just a brand new guy who's, you know...
He ain't thinking about sneaking.
Yeah, he's not thinking about those extra levels. So, in my opinion, I think the DM's right in this. You can't do that.
Okay.
Like, there's spells specifically to create weapons and stuff like that. And...
I agree.
Oh, thank you, Thumb.
Okay, so that's two for DM. Olive?
I'm going with Claire, and it's mostly just because it's the sort of shit I'd still ask even after fucking like 8 years of playing the game, and I'm like, I don't know if it'll fucking work, can I do it? And you're like, oh yeah, you might get sneak damage, and I'd be like, oh shit, hell yeah, let's do it. So.
Rodar?
See, if, depending on the situation.
What was that noise?
I would say I'm on the player's side, because at the end of the day, if he's not thinking about the perfect murder weapon, then he's just being silly, and I get it. If he's thinking about the perfect murder weapon, then he's being smart, and I get it. So they win on my side.
I guess players. The tie-breaking vote comes down to me, then.
All right. Guillotine guy, Mr. Robitaille.
Oh, no. Dramatic last scenario.
You saved the best for last. Alright. What's your call? We're all standing here on the cobblestone streets. You've got it in your hands. Wait. Does he walk free?
We're on cobblestone?
Yeah, we're
on cobblestone. Oh. Maybe.
Double B.
Yeah, they're not going to have a cuddle after.
Might.
Fuck you.
Okay.
You don't get to assume.
I have 3 hours to work.
Keep your camera on.
Sometimes you just want to be hugged.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
Why does it have to be a paywall? Why can't I just...
Because that's quality content.
You can make OnlyFans free, but sure.
Yeah. Wow. They still have to put in their credit card information.
All right. I personally am on the side of the player just because he is inexperienced. Woo! And this is the kind of outside of the box thinking that a lot of new players just generally don't have. And if you don't encourage this kind of thing, they generally don't continue it. And so it's just like, in order to like maybe one day get them thinking about those higher level kind of ideas where it's just like, oh, I can get sneak attack damage with this, murder weapon goes away, Christ, I'm free and clear. Like, you know, you got to build that up somewhere. So I think in this case, I think the DM, especially with a whole group of inexperienced players, explain to them the rules, but still let them have their fun. So I'd say the DM gets the guillotine.
Well, I suppose let's make it quick on him. He tried his best. Oh, there he goes. Wow, that wasn't quick at all.
And the DM is dead.
He's like a chicken. He's still moving.
He's twitching.
Do it again. Move him up a couple feet.
There was about 2 seconds of audio in the back there that you might have to clear out, but that's all right. I don't know if you heard what Raz said, but...
What were you saying?
I should do him in the neck hole.
Alright! Yeah,
put him vertical and just right down the middle.
Oh, that's not what I meant at all. I was talking about a deep throat situation, but I'll have got it.
Yep. And on that note...
I know my serial killers. I know my serial killers.
Inside somebody's throat.
All right, on that note, I would like to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to this special episode of Dungeon Death Sentence. And I'd also like to thank all of our wonderful players for joining us today, especially Rodar.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Olive.
Thank you for having me, so it was fun.
Sky.
I'm angry.
Raz?
You know that's not going to be picked up on the
other. Doesn't matter, it was their laugh, that's all that mattered.
There you go.
I'm here for their entertainment.
Oh. We'll see you guys later.
Bye!
Bye! Bye. Bye.